Still good. Clouds of doubt may not. and there's more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions he added his mercy. To multiplied trials his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength shall fail ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love hath no limit, his grace hath no measure, his power hath no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When clouds of doubt hover o'er me, angry waves toss me to and fro, there is a place where I can go. He's a shield from every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure in times like these. It's good to know
that I need.
which I long. It makes all the others strong. I need a wall of prayer surrounding me.
This week of the special singing and the preaching of the Word of God. These little oases are getting more precious and more scarce all the time. And I believe there'll always be a place for us to worship. I think there'll always be an old-time preacher somewhere that'll tell you like it is. I realize what kind of age we're living in. Thank you, Brother Ken. I at least realize some of it. And it's not going to get any better. I want to read to you these verses tonight in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. And thy father killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. and he was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on pigs and parents and prodigal sons. And I've lived long enough to know what I'm talking about, and I've seen enough that I know what I'm talking about. We're in a mess in our homes as never before. And as Brother Billy said, we are victims of prophecy. The days here that the prophets talked about. And the homes are split by the thousands and literally by the millions because of sin. And is there a remedy? There is. I think tonight the Holy Spirit gave me permission to say this. Probably in this congregation tonight, there's probably two ladies, at least that many, that are influenced by lesbianism. And there's probably more than one young man that's strongly influenced toward homosexuality. We're there. It's in our schools and in our homes and, if you will, in our churches and also in the pulpits. And as sickening as it is, it's something we're going to have to face. We have on our church minutes that we will not take into our church members any homosexual or lesbian. And if we find some of our members being those things, we'll exclude them. I don't know why that's tough enough in our age, because they'll destroy the church as a whole to force us to do it. And, of course, we just have to be destroyed, and that's what we ought to do. We're reading here about an example of a young man leaving home. And he wants his father to divide between him and his brother his living. Now, there comes into play here a big word, primogeniture. And it means the right of the firstborn. So let's say this daddy has $3,000 to give to his sons. The older son gets two sons' part. In other words, they pretend that they've got three sons instead of two. And the older son gets two parts, his and the invisible son, and then the other son, younger son, gets one part, which would be $1,000. So this young man wants what's his and wants to go. And the father gives it to him. And he's going to leave. Now, the Bible calls it going into a far country. But as soon as he got outside the yard gate, he's already in a foreign country. I'd like to get a hold of the young people's minds tonight, and mamas and daddies. And if I've got any experience or learning from God, to give you some pointers that I know about because I've been showed by the Lord and experience. Number one, to know how to keep your children at home. And number one, you don't ever want to compromise to try to ensure that they won't leave the house. You don't give in to their demands when you're following the Bible, this old King James Bible. You don't give in to anything. And when I was younger, I was involved in hypnotism. And I hated to say that tonight because it's now a dirty word to me. And it's cultish, and it's ungodly, and it's out of hell. But I learned some things about it, and the thing is to take the full control of the person's mind. And I learned what did it. And you say, well, preacher, did you learn to do it? If you was in my church on some Sunday mornings, you'd think I had a PhD in it. But it's a powerful thing, not just some man standing and trying to put you to sleep. That thing is in everything that goes on out there tonight for the young people. To literally take control of their mind and direct them in the direction of some other power besides what power has been in control of them. And I can tell you what does it and how it works, and I'm going to, without giving you any hints or secrets on how for you to do it. But the number one thing is monotony. I want you to listen to me. That things being said over and over, or songs with verses, or were a group of words that go over and over and over, with force and with music to get control of the mind that's listening. That's exactly what comes over the radio stations and that are listened to in the homes and the shows on the television that you send to the room of the child and set them up to watch anything they want to without any supervision. Number one, don't ever let your child go to a room with any kind of electronics that they'll have control of and you have no control, because there's a control out there that wants control and will get it unless there's a force. Are you hearing me? And I want to tell you this, and I want the preachers to get it, and these old-time preachers have already got it but because of the Holy Spirit has talked to them. Monotonous preaching, are you hearing me, will have effect on a congregation. Monotonous, monotone preaching. That's why you need a man that'll romp and stomp and preach loud to you and teach you and tell you without saying, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I've got some things I need to put in your mind and in your heart. And pretty soon your intelligence is asleep.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me? And another voice in your mind is going to say, this is all right. What he's saying's all right. What he's saying's all right. What he's saying's all right. And you better hear me. I've never preached this before, but God wanted me to preach it tonight. And churches ought to be alive, I know that. But not alive in the sense that you've got to do everything that's worldlish in order to get the people hopped up to hear the message. You don't have to have motorcycles jumping the congregation and wrestling matches in the altar, and I know that's going on in our county, in order to get the attention of the people. You can't hypnotize a fella, a lady, or a man beyond tear down something that's settled in their heart and that they believe to the deep of their soul. Are you hearing me tonight? And you can try, they can try it all they please, but they'll admit that they cannot change you if you have something so deep rooted inside of you. From your youth up, then they cannot change it and make you do things, ugly things that you've been told is wrong, and you believe it with all your heart. Ain't that wonderful?
train ye up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now you see, even though people don't know anything about hypnotism, it's out there, and the devil knows more about it than anybody, and he'll use it in the church to get control of your young people. Why anybody would let a rock and roll band come in the church and sing rock gospel to your children is beyond my belief. I cannot understand why anybody would bring somebody into the church that would say there's nothing to this old-time spiritual religion. Let your children go and have fun while they can. You're handing them over to the devil. Amen. Now, if you need to ask me some questions about all this, it'll be all right. But I'll be about done talking about it when I get tonight. But I want you to know that it is going on in your church. And the devil's trying to get a hold of the mind and say over and over and over again inside of you, it's all right, it's all right. You do not fight for the King James Bible. Easier to understand Bibles are the thing of the day. Easy to understand Bibles are the thing of the day, or the thing of the day, or the thing of the day. And pretty soon you'll say, it's all right, it's all right. It's the thing of the day. Are you all understanding what I'm trying to get at tonight? And I would not bring into my church a man that there's no life in that wasn't dedicated to this book and this way. You cannot... There's some things I don't really know whether I need to say or not. But the more educated a person he is, the more educated a person is, the easier they are to put under. The more intelligent a person is, the harder they are. Y'all know the difference, don't you? And I want to tell you, if an education's all you've got, you ain't got much. But if you're intelligent enough to know about this old-time way and love it, it'll be hard for the devil to do anything in your mind and heart. Now, he wants the minds of your children. Some of you are too old and too steeped in what we're doing for the change, but they're not. No doubt there's young people already in this church tonight that said no to what I've said when they know it's the truth. And young people, you listen to this old wore-out preacher. I've been down the road. I know what I'm talking about. When I was in Korea in 1957 and 58, traveling the streets as a military policeman, traveling every day, up and down the streets, I saw things. And even though I was running from God, I said, thank God for America. And I come home, and it wasn't but a few years until I'm seeing now in the church parking lots what I saw on the street in Korea. Because the devil reached down and got a hold of folks' minds and put TVs, four or five of them, in people's houses with them saying every night, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. It's the way of fun. And we've about destroyed our families. Now this man here, this young man's ignorant. He don't realize what he's doing. And he's going into a far country, and he does. And this older son's staying at home and plowing every day. I wonder what his brothers are doing. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, stay with the thing that's right. There's nothing out there that's better than this. And God will help you if you'll stay around the old-time home place. You know what I mean by home place. And he got all his goods together and went into a far country and wasted his substance on riotous living. He went down to the hog pen. They hired him to feed and take care of the hogs. And I know what a hog does. We raised hogs when I was young just for our own use. And a hog pen wants a mud hole. That's the first thing he wants in where he's at, a mud hole. And if you don't have one, he'll root one out and make one. And you're going, if you're going to the hog pen, you're going out in the world, you're going to a mud hole, and if you don't have one, you'll pretty soon make one for yourself. And be rooting in the rotten mud for anything you can get a hold of. And that's what this boy did, and I'm glad. Now, it's a short way to the pig pen. You don't have to go far to be the pig pen, but it's a long road back. And I'll tell you, you mamas and you daddies tonight, better guard your home at all costs and your children. You'll get ridiculed by folks in the community and by the church, people in the church, in the school, even if it's a Christian school, so-called, because of your tight grip on your home. The devil hates that with everything he's got. And he'll put the influence inside your home. Listen tonight. Our homes are going to hell. I know Baptist homes where mom and daddy has been good people, that they have homosexuals now in their family. And it's a strange thing to me that when it happens in a family, all of a sudden it'll change the mama's and daddy's attitude about homosexuality and lesbianism. It's a funny thing to me. That when somebody, one of the children, gets into adultery and divorce, that all of a sudden it's not as bad in the minds of the mom and daddy that it used to be. They've changed by monotonous again. It's all right. It's all right. Mama, he's a nice boy. Daddy and mama, she's a nice girl. She's a nice girl. And finally, you think she must be a nice girl. Just monotonous over and over again. Taught that some things are all right, and soon you're going right down the same path. And this boy is a typical prodigal. He's wasteful. It's a waste, young lady, when you leave home. One of the first signs that a lesbian, one of the first signs is she wants to join the military. She wants to get away. And these evil demons, they love warm climates and water. Now, I'm telling you what's the truth. I've never preached all this before in my life, but I know it and known it for years. And I'll tell you, I want to put it in you parents' minds, not by monotone, but by force and the help of the Holy Ghost. It's truth, and this Bible will back it up. Be guard your home, guard your home. They'd rather be on the beaches of Florida or California or some seashore than to be in a cold climate. Where's people want to go? Where they want a vacation? Where do the young people go when school's about out and they get their week off? Where do they go? They want to go to the mountains? No. They want to go to a warm beach somewhere where the demons are. And now this boy's in a pig pen. He had everything all right. I left home. I didn't leave under duress or because I was a mean boy and wanted to get involved in the world. But I kind of had the idea that mom and dad wasn't too smart. I had a high school education and I thought I had a PhD in a lot of things, I guess, like most people did. And I got back home. I realized my dad and mama knowed a whole lot that I didn't know they knew. Well, I was gone and saw everything under the sun, none of it good. I was running from preaching, hadn't been for God, and if I hadn't been His child, I'd have been a goner. I went to Korea determined to get mean, do everything I could, and finally God would give up on me and say, well, you've gone so far, son, I can't use you anymore. I got off of the boat in Incheon, Korea. Determined to do bad things, and honestly, a knock on my heart, and God said we had a good trip, didn't we? I'm going to tell you, you better get your arm full and heart full of God, young person, right in this world. If you're saved as a young person, don't be influenced by other people saying, it's all right, it's all right. It's the fun and most fun time you've ever seen. We'll get out and mix races and everything. And oh, how to live and get it in the mind of your child. Keep them at home. If they put their feet under your table and eat your food, they are to go to your church where folks shout and where the old time Holy Ghost is. Amen. Amen. My wife and I was in Walmart, I guess it was, and they had a brat, and he was in one of these push carts. Had him up in there, and he saw a blue one he wanted. I don't know what it was. And they said, no, you can't have it. But after a while, I noticed he got it. And then after a while, he was wanting a red one and having such a fit. And he went back and got him a red one. And my wife said, now you stay out of this. And I said, if they'd let me have him, he'd want to give them both back. God help us to understand the value of young people. And listen, it's not only young people. The awful, ugly thing that I'm talking to you about is invading the minds of older people. And they're turning and going away from God and godly ways and godly things. And a shame and a disgrace and coming to the church and standing up and try to testify and don't have nothing godly to say. Hey, if you don't have nothing that'll help somebody, keep your mouth shut. If God ain't in it, amen. You say, preacher, you're going to make us mad. I'm leaving tomorrow after the service. Now, let's leave it to Brother Ken. But Lord, help us understand how valuable this is. And what I'm telling you is just not some new thing that I've picked up that I want to preach on. I'll probably never preach it again like this tonight, like when the things that I've said. But I'm going to tell you, I guess it's because there's a danger of folks right here in this meeting being influenced and carried along by the stupidity of Hollywood and politicians and news programs and make our opinions try to change us about what's right and not right. But I've got the rule book here. I don't care who says it's all right for this double marriage business and double married preachers. The rule book said no. And that's the only rule book there is. And so he came to himself. I think your mamas are not mentioned here. And I don't think Sarah is mentioned when Abraham takes Isaac on the mountain. What she was doing at home. But I know mamas. And I said she is praying for this boy. And I think daddy was too. I noticed daddy never did go down to the hog pen and say, son, why don't you come on home? It'd have made him worse. You're going to try to get involved when he's rebelled against you or her. Get yourself involved and try to get them out of the hog pen down yonder somewhere. You better leave it to God. He knows how. And your prayers, it's your prayer place. Do you have a prayer place? Do you have a place, a special place, where you actually pray, get alone, where you can holler and talk to God as loud as you want to and nobody hear you? You can confess your sins and you ought to. Tell God about your children and don't play favorites with none of them. Do like the lady did and say, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Tell God exactly what's going on. Amen. And he came to himself. I know some church members need to come to themselves. Realize the road they're on. I tell you, when there's nobody here tonight that knows how to completely instruct the sinner on this altar. There's nobody here tonight that can lead a sinner to God. Are y'all helping us? Hearing me? I don't care who you are and what conference you've been in. You're not smart enough to know how to lead any. I've never led anybody to God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But I'm going to tell you what you'd better do as a church. Set the atmosphere for the Holy Ghost to work. as churches and individuals, you, that wayward son or that wayward child, they know your life. They know if you're real. I had a couple come out of the church. I was pastoring in Louisville. And they had been in a divorce and remarried, and the family's doing good, I thought. They came out holding hands, looking at one another and talking. Had to turn the corner and go down. And I just said to somebody beside me, I said, I ain't that good. I really like to see mamas and dads doing that. And there's a little kid, one of their kids that I thought had done gone down the drive. And he said, she'll smack him before we get to McDonald's. I'm saying that to tell you, you don't know what's going on. But that child knows. And if you're going to have influence on them, you'd better be godly and be for real. If you pray in public at church and cuss after you get home, your child know it and know it. You're as odd as you can be and unreal. Would you be a true child of God and quit being a hypocrite? And he came to Steph and said, my father, how about that? Has servants. It's got more than I got. Oh, that home must have been haunting him. No doubt he'd sass his daddy. Don't you never let a child sass you. Amen. Never, ever, ever. And listen to me, Mama. I may be giving instructions tonight. I'm a psychologist. Every preacher here, if you're really sharp, you're a psychologist. We've got to be if we're going to pastor. Absolutely. Absolutely be in control of your home, your household, and your children. If you say to that child, don't touch that pan, don't touch it. And he touches it, and if he's old enough to know the difference, whip him. And if tomorrow, I've been in homes, and it ain't good for me a lot of times to go in homes anymore. They've said, don't do that or I'll whip you. He just goes on and does, so I'm going to whip you now, And I'm going slow tonight. And I may not be in the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you the truth. We've got so much junk going on. And that child knows exactly how much he can get by with before he has to quit. And they stop him from it tonight, say, don't do that no more. And then 15 minutes, he's doing it and never say a word to him. Be consistent. If you whipped him for it yesterday, the next time he touches it, whip him harder again. And he remembered his father's house. Well, I'll tell you, been a few times I've been out of church for a few days in the hospital or so forth. And get so hungry to hear him sing Amazing Grace. Our choir's little, we ain't got very many, in the church. Sometimes there's 8 or 9 in the choir and they're not especially gifted. But we got the best choir in the world. And that little church up there, I've been there 30 years. And we got less people going there now than we did when I went. Makes me feel like a failure, except when they get singing on Sunday morning. And I know there's about, out of them 8 or 9, there's at least 8 or 9 that are walking a holy walk. And their children know it. And I'd rather have that as have a 1,000-member choir. Y'all hearing me tonight? About half of them shacked up. And some of the others want to be shacked up. I carried on a revival in Georgia, and the preacher said, I want to tell you something. We're going to church tonight. I've got the most adulterous church in the state of Georgia. He said, the piano player will play the piano tonight. Was married to one of the deacons. And now she's married to another deacon, and the deacon, her first husband, when they separated, he married the superintendent, Sunday school superintendent's wife, and just went on like that forever, and I wanted to go home. Amen. But we've got so twisted in saying, it's okay, it's okay. It's all right, it's all right. And now it's being more said in a monotone, okay, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. It's all right. But the rule book said, no, it's not all right. He said, I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I'm going home. Now that older brother's got, the younger brother's got his $1,000. We're just saying numbers. And the older one is assured of his $2,000. And then he's going to fall heir to everything that the father's got. Not only that, but fall heir to everything that over the increase that the farm brings until his father dies, except for what his father claims as his half of the increase. Are y'all understanding me? That's why it wasn't none of the younger son's business when he comes home and his father's ready for him. Some of you here tonight, some of you young people, you're in the hog pen. You may not know it, but there's slop on you. And I'll tell you something else. I talked about your pastor being a psychologist, and he is, and you don't know it. But you come, ma'am and sir, not only the young people, and say, well, I wasn't here yesterday, and your parent can just about read your mind and know what you got at home in your refrigerator and in your clothes closet, and you don't think he knows anything. And when he's saying, God bless you, ma'am, God bless you, sir, God bless you, he's saying in his heart, I wish they'd wise up and get right. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. But he came home, and I'm zeroed in on this fatted calf. So something about this calf doesn't belong to the son. It's the increase since he's divided with them. And it's not just a calf. It's around the field. It's a fatted calf. And when you put up a calf and feed it and fat it, that means you've got something in view to have a feast about. And it sounds like just in Brother Milby's mind, you know, that he's saying, I'm going to get him fat. I was praying last night and had a good feeling. I believe we ought to get a fatted calf ready. And he said, I know what I'm going to say when I get home. I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to be truthful about it and say, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. If you're going to turn loose and come back to God, be honest about yourself. Somebody believed Brother Jones this morning. A wonderful message. Just be honest about who you are and come to God and quit hiding things and thinking God don't know. Some of you tonight need to go to your parents right in this service and say, I'm sorry, I'm headed for the hog pen and I want to change directions tonight. Some of you parents ought to apologize to your children and say, I didn't raise you right. You've never heard me pray out loud and call your name, and I'm sorry. I've never put my arms around you before you went to bed and cried over you and said, I'm a-praying for you to get saved. I don't care if they're 3 months old. You ought to talk to them and tell them that God's real and you want what He wants for the child's life. You parents tonight have faith in God that this old-time way that your granny walked is still right tonight. Don't let this world hypnotize you and influence you that this is the real age. We're having a good time. And all these little gadgets and all that is so much to be thankful for. And if they're used right, I don't have anything against them. But I'm going to tell you there's evil in them if they're turned loose to a child that don't know how to handle things. God help us tonight to realize that there's a pig pen down the road that'll just fit your child. There, pig down at the pig pen, they'll be glad to see your young'un coming, that young girl in your home that you've let dress like a harlot and never corrected her. Are you hearing me? And that little old boy you raised up in your home and laughed, dressed him up in a girl's dress to have a laugh and take his picture and let his hair grow out down over his ears. Are you listening to me tonight? That's as good as the devil wants for you to try to cross them before there's time for them to get crossed. To teach them that it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. I'm going to tell you, I don't understand if we are against ladies are wearing shorts that they'll put them on them at home and put them on little boys. Are you hearing me? You know what you're saying to him? It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. But his father saw him coming. I wonder why he saw him so far off. I believe he's looking for him. Maybe the Lord's looking for you tonight, Mama, Daddy. Some of you in a congregation this big, no doubt's got wayward children. There's folks here tonight. If God don't move on your children and grant some of them, they're going to go to hell. Get strung up down yonder and tattoos all over them. I'm going to tell y'all, a tattoo business is out of hell. All that junk of making marks on the bodies of your children. But I'm going to tell you what, they've probably been looking at your tattoos. Any grown person that'll do that are stupid. But he comes home to a loving father. And still nothing said about the mama. But he comes home to a loving father. Some of you need to come home tonight. Some of you are rebels. Some of you may be wolves. Some of you don't care. It seems like the further up towards the front. I've had people to do that. Look like it. The meaner they are, the closer to the front they want to sit. And then the good people want to sit in the back. But there's a loving father tonight. And he wants to see you come home. And he wants you to pray for your wayward children and pray for them before they go wayward. Keep them close to you. Love them. Tell them every day you loved them. I'll tell you what, I failed in my home, but I was gone so much. My wife had to raise our children. She did a good job. But I'm going to tell you, they ought to have a mama and a daddy at home with the children. Are you listening to me, Daddy? If you're so busy working that you can't take time to be with your family, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. I'm about done. I just want to deal with this elder son just a little bit, and I'll be done. He's at home. He's all right, but he had a jealous spirit in him. He's afraid that this younger son's going to come in and take some of his inheritance. And he don't want that to happen. As you know, there's actually people, you know, sinners begin to come in. A preacher told me, I went down there and got in that church and started that church. Got people kind of revved up and young people started coming and old time preaching. And we had 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 get saved. And the deacons and the older men called me in and said, we got to quit getting these young people saved and get them in this church. They're going to start running things. Now let me tell you this. The fearful thing in the mind of the devil is folks getting born again because they know there'll be a force in a young person's heart if he gets saved that's greater than the force that's in the world. And so, he say, now they're going to do this. They're going to get people up front there. And we can't keep them from doing that. So let's get a counterfeit in here. And make them think they're all right and their children's all right. And that'll settle the whole deal. They'll be satisfied at least for a while that they are saved. And they'll go their way and they'll still belong to me. And so they've devised door-to-door evangelism and easy believism. Bring them to an altar and have a team of so-called soul winners to talk to them and read the Bible to them. Are you hearing me tonight? And tell them they're saved whether they won't believe it or not. I was in a revival in Alabama. A preacher's granddaughter on the altar right here, been on the altar all over the country, and them soul winners don't believe in that stuff. You mean you let them leave church unsaved? Yeah, many times, thank God. Amen. She is on the altar praying, and I heard a girl went right down there before, and she told me later what the girl had said. Said, you just repeat after me, honey. And I'll get you out of this mess you're in. But that young granddaughter of that old-time preacher's house, she was shaking her head, and I didn't know then, but I found out later what she was shaking her head over. She'd been trained, and she wanted the real thing. Finally, I heard the mama of the pastor, say to a preacher sitting there, go over there and take your Bible and show this girl how to be saved. And he raised up and started, and the old grandpa got up and said, don't give her no Roman road.
Amen.
And I said, amen. I was still up here on the pulpit area. And he said, well, I'm just going to show her how to be saved. And the old man said, I said. And I went to the girl. Now I went to the girl. Y'all listen. Said, honey, you go back and take your seat. It's over for tonight. I'm going to tell you, if they're around here and they'll come to church and come to these services, and if you're not careful, they'll get to them before you do and give them some plan that they'll think will get them right. You better get close to your child when they're in the altar and guard them. Amen. Amen. Pigs and parents and prodigal sons, hold on. Hold on. You that are here tonight that are prodigals and astray and rebelling down inside yourself against your parents, you better get some sense and realize it's best for you to stay around the house. You need to give in to dressing right and being denied access to things that have nothing but 40 acres of hell in them for you and your life. And it'll destroy you in the devil's pig pen. Are you hearing me? Your mom and daddy knows more about what you need in 5 minutes than you do in 50 years. I appreciate you listening to me tonight. I love to see sinners come home, come to God. I don't reckon I'll give an invitation. There's another preacher coming. I thank God for him, this message. But I hope you parents have heard me tonight about this taking some control of the mind. Your television is working to get a control of you. Commercials work to get a control. Have you ever noticed the commercials are louder than the rest of the programs? They want you to buy the product. Speaking in your heart. Speaking to your mind, just like what I was talking to you about, over and over. You listen a while, it'll be over and over and over the same thing. This is good for you. And down at the house of God, listen to me for just a minute. The old-time man of God that's romping and stomping down in front of you and preaching against sin, and you'll say, I wish you'd quit that. You better go and kiss his hand and say, preach on, preacher. I'm glad I'm saved. I haven't been too spiritual tonight, but I've done what God wanted me to. Thank you, Brother Ken.